Alright, I want to begin today to learn about Yonei Rosh Hashanah. We'll be using now, at least for today, this circle, the Avnei Shoyhan. I don't know if you're familiar with, we use this a lot in the Shir. At least I used to appear a lot from the Sefer. He has now a new volume. I don't know, it was redone. I do not believe I have the original, but I saw in the bookstore they had the original there also, and it's a fraction of what is presented in the new volume. So he goes through a lot of different things. We pass Avnei Shoyhan. Avnei Shoyhan by Shlamanitz. Shlamovitz. Shlamovitz.
Shlamovitz.
Yeshaya. Yeshaya Shlamovitz. It's a.
Belgium.
No, not necessarily. Maybe I'm a mistake. I don't know. Very, very impressive. He has probably at least by now, maybe even 15 volumes. Even 15 volumes. Very, very impressive. I don't know how. No, on Moadim, basically on the Moadei Hashanah. Yeah, he goes through. You know, this is just on Rosh Hashanah. Then there's, he has, it's very, very, I mean, I don't know how one person, it's humanly possible for one person to put together all the things that he has in all these volumes. It's just mind-boggling.
Rosh Hashanah.
This is a new and expanded edition. He had originally, I think it was one of the first things he ever put out, just on Rosh Hashanah. And this is on Elul, Slichus, Erev Rosh Hashanah, Leil Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah, Shofar, Musaf, Tashlich, Kriyas HaTorah, Yom Sheni. So this is a much expanded reprint of the first volume, which I don't have the first volume. In any event, let's begin. Let's just run through a couple of things. Just going to run through things that are relevant. Not everything, of course, is relevant, and as far as we can get. Okay, Elul, we're now holding already. We're already more than a week into Chodesh Elul. And, you know, there are some basic Rosh Tevas for Elul. Everyone knows Ani Lidodi Vidodi Li. There's another acronym for Elul of Mol Hashem Elokecha Es Levavcha V'Es Levav Zarecha. S, the Aleph of S, Levavcha, the Lamed of Levavcha, V'Es Levav. Another pasuk which just these psukim anchor us into the theme of Elul. Another pasuk very popular is Vehu Elokim Inol Liyodoi V'Samti Lecha Makoim. The Rosh Tevas of Ina Liyodo V'Samti Lecha is Elul. Now these are very nice. I just gave you three of probably 100. I don't know. Every sefer has another acronym. Another Rosh Tevas, and are these things rooted in Chazal? How serious are these things? I do not know. I just gave you three of probably the most popular. Most popular, Ani Lidodi Vidodi Li. I am to my beloved, and my beloved is to me. There were other parts, Mol Hashem Elokecha Es Levavecha. Hashem will circumcise your heart. And the third one, Hashem will bring about, will enable you to reach a certain destination, a mokim. It's interesting, each one of these acronyms expresses a different flavor. It gives you a different perspective in what is the purpose of this month. On the one hand, and if everyone is different, there's no one size that fits all. Every person, when they come to the Yom Neroim, has a different approach to the Yimei Hadin. Some people thrive on fear. They enjoy the tension. I'll give you an example. I used to volunteer more often for Torah Anytime. And they would do live events. And you can prepare for the, you know, to live stream. You know, you come to a place and there's speakers, you set up your equipment, and then you press the button. And what you're presenting is being streamed on the web. Sometimes do events, there are literally 30 people watching. 30 people. Is it really worth the effort to go and to go through the tircha for them and to bother all these people, the volunteers, to go and record for 30 people watching live? You know, you record it, then you'll put it up on the website the next day. I don't know, none of my business. Sometimes you'll have 100 people, 200 people. Sometimes we had 3,000-4,000 people watching for a couple of hours straight. 3,000-4,000 people. Okay, every event is different. I almost never do it anymore because they've grown to a point where they don't need me and they don't want me. Baruch Hashem. Once in a while, I get an emergency phone call. The guy gets sick and I please come and just show up, whatever. Even that doesn't happen anymore.
How many people will listen to the Tisha B'Av program?
Not many. I got the least. I had the least, unfortunately. Whatever. It doesn't matter. Okay, I appreciate everyone that listened. I'm extremely grateful. Baruch Hashem, thank you very much. Whatever it is, but they do so. No matter how much you prepare, you cannot imagine what it's like. It's extremely tense. You really can. It's hard to believe. It seems so simple. Like people who call, they want their thing broadcast. Big deal. You just come up with a computer, blah, blah, you put the computer down. Do you know how many moving parts there are? Nope. You really cannot begin to imagine how many things can go, and they go wrong. We're not professionals. No one have no great expectation. We do the best we can. Equipment fails, and the circumstances, and there are so many moving parts. Everything has to be coordinated. You know, there are people in the Goyish world that get paid hundreds of thousands of dollars to do this. This is... And it's like, it's very tense. It's showtime. 3, 2, 1, go live. I can't begin to describe it to you. I personally love it. I thrive. I love like this intensity with. I just it's mishigas. Some people love it. Some people, they think you're crazy. They cannot deal with it. Okay, whatever. You practice. I just get a thrill out of it. I remember even one time with Rabbi Reisman, it was during Corona, and they were doing something very choshev, saying tehillim for someone, and we started everything. I came there, it was Mitzvah Shabbos, I was rushing, set everything up, and like whatever, I knew it was going to be a disaster because there were too many things going on. I got everything ready to go. Showtime, Rabbi Reisman, he started to speak, and I had an assistant there. There was somebody helping me, and then about 15 seconds into the broadcast, it crashed. Why it crashed, I don't remember what happened, it crashed. And in the room, there were about 15 people at most. 15 people showed up live. But online, there was a significant amount of people watching. So I said to her, I said, like, I saw it was not going. So I told her, I rise him to stop. I put my hand. And then we fixed it. I told him, please start again. Even though in the room, it was like funny, because in the room, there were 15 people who already heard everything that he said for the first, like, 60 seconds. I said, just start again, just from the very beginning. And he started again. At the end, he came over to me. I'm not trying to brag over him. I'm just trying to bring out a point over here. He says, I was very surprised how, like, the whole thing crashed, and you were just like, no big deal. It was like, okay, so we'll do fix up, and we'll start again. Like, don't you get, like, totally worked up? I said, I used to, but this happens every day. The first time I got a little worked up, but this happens all the time, so it's no big deal. This is the way it goes.
They're filming movies or TV, they take retakes, they take 100 times.
Right, because that's professional, you know, and anyway, they're preparing in this live. It's very, very tense. What am I telling this to you? Some people, that's what they look forward to on the Yemei Hadin. When you come down to Elul, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, there's an intensity. There's a mad rush. As you get closer, when you get closer to the Rosh Hashanah, the week, slichas, all of a sudden there's a big change. And then you get closer, Erev Rosh Hashanah, and you have to go do Ataras Nedar, and you got to go do this, yeah, I got to do this. And then it comes to Aseres Yemei Teshuva, Yom Kippur. There is really an intensity, especially like in certain communities, like by B'nai Yeshiva, there's like a real intensity. You can really get worked up. Some people, they love it. They love this way of coming to Hashem with this intensity. Some people, they melt. They cannot deal with this. It has to be relaxed. It has to be a different approach. Some people in the middle. Everyone has a different approach in dealing with this time of the year. And to a very large, you look at the psukim, the acronyms that Chazal or the different mepharshim, they dig up, they search the whole Tanakh, or they type into a computer and they find an acronym, a Rosh Tevis. Aleph, Lamed, Vav, Lamed, Elul, and they find you a pasuk. You know what it really is? It's just a reflection of how they look, their personal approach to the Yemei Hadin. Some people, it's a time of chiba. Ani le doidi v'doidi li. Does that expression capture intensity? Does it capture you're in the mid? There is deadlines, and everything has to be perfect. No, ani le doidi v'doidi li is a very pleasant, a very beautiful expression. There's a love between us and Hashem. It doesn't bring out any feeling of din. Hashem's out to get you. The Satan's out to get you. The Mekatreg, and you have to do tshuva or else you finish. You're doomed. You're going to go to Gehenna. No, it's a very pleasant, beautiful time of the year. Ani l'doidi v'doidi li. I devote myself to my beloved, and my beloved is committed to me. That's beautiful. Some people are more, they enjoy the intensity. Umol Hashem Elokecha Eslavavcha. There's someone coming with a knife, right? The moel has arrived, right? The only one that's afraid when the moel walks in is the baby. The moel has a knife in his hands, right? Well, we're all the baby. Umol Hashem Elokecha Eslavavcha V'Eslavav Zarecha Liyira. Oh, there's this intensity. Some people, they love it. They thrive on this. Some people, they can't deal with, they're not romantic. They're not into this mushy, ani li dodi v'dodi li. They don't deal well with stress. They can't deal with the stress. They just need protection. B'soich ami anoich yoshaves. V'ina Elokim. Hashem will designate. That's the post that's said by a Ritzayach B'Shoigeg. We're not using it in a negative context. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will prepare for us a safe haven. There's a shelter. Just go to the shelter and you'll be okay. No one's coming to get you. You don't have to get involved in this mushy approach. Hashem, there's a shelter. Now is a time of din. Don't worry about it. No big deal. HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides for you a mokoim. Asher yo noshama. Go there. Just sit down, relax, enjoy the show, and you'll be okay. You go to shul, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, you go to slichas here and there. Relax. It's a safe, it's an Ari Miklat. The people who have taken these psukim and have worked very hard to find the acronyms in these psukim, I believe it's just a reflection of themselves. That how do you look at the Yemei Hadin? Well, there is no one size that fits all. Every single person approaches the Yemei Hadin in a unique perspective. That's the way Hashem made. No one drives the same make and model and color car. Everyone has a different taste. Everyone has something customized for their liking. That's the way it is with religion. In Elul, it's the Yemei Hadin. You want to take the approach that the Sifrei Chaim, Sifrei Mesim, a bolt of lightning is going to come out of the sky and knock you out because you want once you didn't listen during Chazaras Hashatz, you may have missed a syllable of the Baal Tefillah during Chazaras Hashatz. He may have said a word and you didn't fully pay attention, one word. A bolt of lightning is coming to get me. Some people, they love this stuff. Good for them. But that's good for them. It's not good for me. Some people like this approach, ani le doidi v'dodi li, with all of this romantic flavor. Not everyone is so romantic. Not everyone does that appeal to them. Some people just need a safe haven. V'alokim ino liyod, elokim is midas hadin. It's a time of din. ina liyado, he will bring about that he will provide for you during the time of din. V'samti l'chamaka in mashayon shama. This is what you do. Relax. You go into the shelter. You go to shul, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Sit back. Enjoy the chazan. Enjoy the Baal Tefillah. Read some of the footnotes. And that's it. You're in a safe place. You're surrounded by good people. Hashem judges Klal Yisrael as a whole. You associate with good people, you'll be okay. There's something in Elul for everyone. No one should get scared away and say, this is not mine. This holiday, you know, I like Hanukkah. I like the hole in the donut. That's what I like to eat. I like the no calories in the hole of the donut. That's my holiday. Okay, so, no, Elul has something for everyone in that you see how Chazal, they just reflect themselves by picking a certain pasuk which has a unique flavor in the message and in the approach to the Yemei HaDin. Okay, the little two little interesting things. Let's say another thing. You know, we know that the Mazel. Okay, this is a little esoteric, but the constellations. There are different constellations for each month, and the constellation for Elul is Besula, a woman that was never married, a woman who's a Besula. What's this? What is the Musar, the Drush, of telling us that Elul is the Mazel of Besula? So we know that in the time of Chazal, a woman, her marriage was broken up over 1 year. 1 year, she had Erusin at one point in time, and then 12 months later was the Nisuin, when her husband would take her into the home. They were fully married with Erusin, Haret Mekudesh Asli, and 12 months later you enter into the home of your husband. What do you do during those 12 months? Do you prepare? The husband gets a job, the wife, she sets up the home, and your 12 months you are designated to prepare the home to get married. And the Chazals were, now let's say the woman is an almana. I'm sorry? You have to bring it back, return policy, you have to wait for shipping and handling, right? An almana does not need 12 months. Almana, 30 days or even less. An almana does not need the span of time of 12 months. The words of Chazal are, Noisnin lebesula yud beis chodesh. For a besula, you give her 12 months. The span of time between the beginning and then is 12 months. So the Darshanim, they take this expression, they play with it, and they say that being that the month of Elul is a besula, that is the constellation, Noisnin lebesula yud beis chodesh. What you do in this 30-day period of time is what is going to happen to you in the next 12 months. The 12 months, the 30 days of the Besula, which is Chodesh Elul, which is the Mazel of Besula, is the template. It's a microcosm of what you could expect to happen to you in the next 12 months, in the next year. This is the Zman of preparation. Elul is an important Zman to prepare, to reflect on the future. Now we know another idea. This idea really shook me up. Very interesting idea for Tisha B'Av. We know that Lel Tisha B'Av, Klali, the Meraglim, came back on the eighth day of Av, and they delivered a report. Their report on the land, the qualities of the land, and it was no good. They gave the land an F. They said that Eretz Yisrael is not a place for us. We don't want to go to Eretz Yisrael. And it was fake news. It was false. The report that they handed down on the night of Tisha B'Av was false. And Klal Yisrael accepted it as fact. They accepted the Lashekar. They just were willing to accept a false report, and they cried. And Hashem was very disappointed that the Jewish people were so naive to accept a slanderous report. And the Chazal's words are, you cried tonight, a bechiya shel chinam. You complained against me. A bechia of chinam. You know what? For all generations, I'll give you what to cry about. I'll give you what to cry about. You'll cry in the night of Tisha B'Av, a real bechia. And unfortunately, for the last 1,952 years, we have been crying not a bechia shel chinam, but been crying a real bechia of real tears. I was always intrigued with this nusach. a bechia shel chinam. Now today a lot of the inspirational speakers, it became a cliche already, is ahavas chinam. They all say this. It became already, this was a very nice term a couple of years ago, but I think by now it's a cliche. The way to solve sinas chinam is ahavas chinam. You've all heard this about 1,000 times. And when someone says this, I think today already people are ready, okay, we've heard this already. Let's move on. Let's put it on the shelf for a couple of years and let's hear something new. Okay, but that's unfortunately, but it's definitely true. There's a sinas chinam ahavas chinam. So I can't, Elul corresponds that this time of the year takes us back to the Zman of Matan Torah and to the Zman of the Cheto Egel and to the last 40 days when Moshe went to Shemayim to bring down the Luchos Shenios. Everyone knows that Moshe went to Shemayim for 120 days from Yud Zayin, from Shivas B'Talmos when he shattered the Luchos from the beginning of the Matan Torah until Shavas Bet Hamas was 40 days, and he shared the Luchos. He went back up for another 40 days to ask for Mechil. He came down on Rosh Chodesh, the day before Rosh Chodesh Elul, and then that's when he came down the second time, and then he on Rosh Chodesh Elul he went up for the third time, the last 40 days until Yom Kippur, to receive the Luchos Shniyos. And Moshe came down on Yom HaKippurim, and Hashem at that point said, I forgive you for the Chei To'egel on Yom Kippur. It says in the Medrash that when they came down, when Moshe came down on Yom HaKippurim, on Yom HaKippurim, they cried. It's an incredible Medrash. And it was a Bechia Shel Simcha. It was a cry of joy. A cry of joy which what to me it sounds like this is the gemar of the tekufa. I mean, that point was way before the miraglim. The miraglim did not yet happen. But we when we put everything in perspective today, Yom Kippur, the Elul follows in the wake of Tisha B'Av. There's Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av B'Tammuz is Tisha B'Av. And from Tisha B'Av we go into El, and El we go into the Aseres Yemei Teshuva. Aseres Yemei Teshuva, we come Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av begins with a Bechia Shel Chinam. The end of the season concludes with what's called in the Medrash, Moshe came down from Shemayim on Yom HaKippurim with the Luchos. They cried. Klal Yisrael cried, the words of the Medrash are a bechia shel simcha. We know there's a bechia of tzar, that's very obvious, but there's also something called a bechia shel simcha. When parents marry off their children and they reach a very high point in their life, they cry tears of joy. Yom HaKippurim, the Medrash says, it's probably the only place, I'm not aware of this, I don't know, but there's something called the Bechia Shel Simcha, which in English is translated as tears of joy, and this, it says, explicitly occurred on Yom HaKippurim, when Moshe Rabbeinu came down with the second Luchos. Elul, in all of the Svarim, corresponds to Moshe Rabbeinu going to Shemayim for the last 40 days. And that's one of the popular reasons why we blow Shofar in Chodesh Elul. When Moshe went to Shemayim the last 40 days, he told them, listen, I'm going for 40 days, I don't want a repeat performance. That if I don't show up on time, you're going to make an egel. So in order to make sure that this does not happen again, I want you to blow Shofar every single day. By blowing Shofar every single day, this will put you in the right frame of mind. It'll also, you'll count exact numbers, and to know not to think anything happened to me, and I don't want it to be a repeat performance. If I'm not going to come down, you're going to go and make a mistake in the calculation, and you're going to make another egel. The blowing of the shofar was a tikkun, was a rectification, a way to keep them in the right frame of mind, not to worship the egel when he went up to Shemayim the last 40 days. We do the same thing every single year. We blow shofar, also not to make a mistake. That's a whole word in and of itself. Why are we blowing the shofar? The word that Chazal used when Moshe went to Shemayim the last 40 days, he told them to blow shofar, was they should not make a mistake. do not make an error. During Elul, the goal is no mistakes. Why are we blowing shofar? There are many reasons. It's a Sairus, it's a preparation for the shofar Shol Rosh Hashanah. What's the purpose of the shofar Rosh Hashanah itself is a big topic. Rav Saad Yagon gives 10 reasons. So you'll say whatever the 10 reasons are for Rosh Hashanah, that's why we blow in Chodesh Elul, also to prepare, to put us in the right frame of mind. But it's not what the Medrash says. The Medrash says that the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu told Klal Yisrael to blow shofar during Chodesh Elul was they should not make a mistake. Don't make a mistake. Don't calculate the days wrong.
So shall we have a countdown, like Sphira?
Well, that far we don't go. It's complicated enough to have Sphira. Chazal did not want to overburden us with having a Sphira So'aymer. But Moshe Rabbeinu, that's what it says in the Medrash. You should not make a mistake in the calculation of when I'm going to come down from Shemayim, and this will prevent you from having even a Havamina to make the Egel again. Chazal then say, we copy what Klal Yisrael did, and we blow Shofar in Chodesh Elul, just like Klal Yisrael blew Shofar in Chodesh Elul when Moshe went to Shemayim for the last 40 days. So if you add one and one together, what does that tell you? That our blowing Shofar during Chodesh Elul is to remind us not to make a mistake. It's not, in this interpretation, to get us ready for the Shofar Shel Rosh Hashanah. It's not to wake up. It's not a disturbing sound which causes the person's neshama to wake up. The purpose of the Shofar is, just like when they blew the Shofar in the days of Moshe, don't make a mistake. Now is the time of the year to be on guard. Don't make a mistake in your life. In life, every single moment you're presented with challenges. Every single day you have to make decisions. So during the year, people have a tendency to get sloppy. I have to make a decision. Should I eat for lunch lettuce? Or should I eat for lunch a Danish? Someone put a Danish over here, mayor. I have a choice. The mayor gave me a choice. I can either eat an apple that has a hole in it, or I can eat over here. This thing. What? Make a choice. If you eat this, this is good for you, this is healthy. This is poison. Right? So make a choice. What choice do you think I'm going to make? I mean, it's pretty obvious what choice I'm going to make, right? Make a choice.
You can eat both.
You can eat, it's also a choice. You have to make a choice. So during the year, I don't care. I'm not going to pay so much attention. I'll just, impulsive life, impulsive decisions, whatever. I don't like to give the Yetzar any trouble. Whatever he wants, I give. Unconditional love. Whatever the Yetzar wants, he gets. Okay.
Then the Yetzar time feels slighted.
That's his problem. As long as the Yetzar is happy, we're all happy. Right? During the year, Elul is not a time to make mistakes. Now is a time you gotta be at the top of your game. It's nothing to do with wake up. It's not, this is what it's going to sound like on Rosh Hashanah. Forget about all that. Just don't make foolish mistakes in your life when you make decisions. Okay? What's the Gemar? What is the end? The end of the 40 days leads to what? When Moshe comes down? And what happened when Moshe came down? What does it say in the Medrash? It says they cried, a bechia shel simcha. Why are they crying? A bechia shel simcha. What are you crying about? So what are they happy about? That Hashem forgave them? Hashem didn't really fully forgive them. It wasn't a complete forgiveness. There were plenty of problems going forward. They didn't make a mistake. You have to say that. You have to connect all the dots. The greatest simcha you have in life, joy, is when you get 100 on the test. I didn't make any mistakes. I made all the right decisions. That's a bechia shel simcha. Joy comes from, you're tested, you're challenged, and you pay attention, you're awake. And you make the right decisions. You made no mistakes. That's the bechia shel simcha. By the churban, the Beis HaMikdash, by Tisha B'Av, Klal Yisrael made a very big mistake. They made a mistake. They presented a report that was clearly false, and they made it. They decided to accept it as fact. Everything that it says over here is mamish ter misinai. That they made a mistake. That mistake led to a bechia shel chinam. When Moshe came down from the mountain after 40 days and Klal Yisrael succeeded after only 120 days in not worshiping the eagle, in surviving without, in Moshe's absence and not being misled after crazy things during that time, they made the right decision, they didn't make any mistakes. That is the opposite end of the spectrum of the Bechiya Shel Chinam. There's a Bechiya Shel Chinam versus a Bechiya Shel Simcha. What's the difference in the Bechiya Shel Chinam and a Bechiya Shel Simcha? A Bechiya Shel Simcha is where I did not make a mistake. A Bechiya Shel Chinam is where you make a mistake. And the goal during these 40 days is to be like Chazal tell us, is to emulate, to listen to the shofar of Moshe Rabbeinu. Nothing to do with the shofar of the Torah. That's only in Rosh Hashanah. It's don't make mistakes. You made a mistake the first time when Moshe went to Shemayim to receive the Luchos Rishonis. When Moshe went to Shemayim the first time, you made a mistake. You made a miscalculation. Moshe's not here. Ki boishesh Moshe lovo. You made a mistake. Now, we did not make a mistake. And therefore, we have a Bechia Shel Simcha. That's the goal. This time of the year is now the time of the year to focus on making the right choices. Okay, that's one part. Let me tell you another part. I don't know who this Rebbe is, but there's a famous Rebbe. To me, all the Rebbes are the same. I can't differentiate one type of Bekesha and another type of Bekesha. A Spodik versus a Strimal. To me, it's all the same. But there was a very, very big Rebbe, and he was a child. He was fooling around during Elul. And his sister said to him an expression that became world famous. Became a world famous expression. She said to him, in Yiddish of course, but I don't know Yiddish, I can't tell it to you in Yiddish, I'll tell it to you in English the best that I can. How could you fool around during Elul? Even the fish, the dogim shebiyam, are terrified. If the fish, the dogim shebiyam, are terrified, they're in a mass of ra'ada, how could you fool around during Chodesh Elul? And he would
afilu the fish in Vaset Sitrin.
Okay, the fish in Vaset Sitrin. This became a classic expression in Klal Yisrael. It came from a girl, a woman, who gave musa to a Rebbe when he was a child, and the Rebbe would repeat this to his Hasidim in his whole life. And all the other Hasidim plagiarized this expression, and it wound up in the Beis Medrash. Even here, in the year 2021, in the Gizel of Midwood, I'm telling you, how can you fool around during Elul? Even the fish in the Vaseh Sitterin. What does that mean exactly? Why fish, all creatures, why do we use that as a dogma for Yimei Elul? So he says over here, an incredible Vart. The Pshat is, there was a Yom HaDin long, long ago in the time of Noach. And Hashem said, Ki hishchis kol basar darkoi al aretz. And Hashem said, the world is coming to an end. Hinani mashchis es aretz, I'm going to destroy the world. And Hashem carried out his threat. Hashem gave them 120 years to do teshuvah. No one listened. Hashem told Noach, get into the ship, get aboard, and Hashem brought a marble and destroyed the world. There was one creature that did not suffer from the Gzar Din. Everyone in this world was destroyed, except for who? The fish. Why not? I don't know. The fish, they did not. What?
How were they going to put
fish on the table afterwards? The fish were not taken into the teva. The fish, for whatever reason, maybe they were not mashchuses, that they did not intermarry. There was intermarriage among the animals. The animals, they were mingled with different meaning. The fish were loyal to their own kind. Whatever it was, the fish were not subject to the gzar din of Chorban. So they got a pass. So you would think the fish would say, now in the year 2021, lemisparam, that Yom Hadin is coming. Kol boyei ha'olam o'olam lefanav. The whole world's going to pass before Hashem. Mi yichye mi yomus. V'chulu v'chulu mi barash, mi magefa, mi ye'oni mi ye'osha, the ganze maisa. But the fish, they're not afraid. Because the fish have a history. They go to their record books. Look, when Hashem destroyed the world, we came out okay. It wasn't okay us. We were swimming around on the water. It didn't affect us. The whole world from beginning to end was destroyed except us. So if we survive that, come on, big deal. What could be already? What could be? We have Social Security. We have benefits. We have all the benefits in the water. Everything is good for us. The government, they throw us some food every once in a while. We're in good shape. No. It's not the way it goes. It may be true that back then the fish survived. It's a new world now. In this world, even the fish in the Vasser, even they tzitterin, even they're afraid. So kol shekein, we should be afraid. Even the kal v'chomer. Madach, back in the olden days, the fish were not worried, but man had what to worry about, and the proof is they were wiped out. So today, when even the fish are nervous if they're going to survive the Yom HaDin, alachas kama v'kama, how much more we have to be terrified and worried what is going to be with us. Okay, let's now go to another little drush, like this little drush. How many hours are there in 40 days? Any mathematicians, Mr. Merlis is here? 960. Now, I'm not good with this, with the lugim and the saw. How many, what is the smallest mikvah? 40 saw. I'm not good with all these calculations, but supposedly there are 960 lugin in a mikvah. A mikvah has 40 saw. How many lugim are there in the saw? You do all the math, you have to go break it down to all the smallest, all different calculations, how to do it. There are 40 saw in a mikvah, which comes out to 960 lugin. When a person is toivel in the mikvah, he's putting his body in water of nine, and a lug is like a very basic unit of measurement in the Torah. You're putting yourself in a body of water of 960. Just like we have something in the physical world, we have in time. You know, there's oilam, shana, nefesh. A person's neshama is being put in both in, you go to the mikveh every Yom Kippur, and you, in zaman. It's a zaman of 960 hours. This time of the year is like a mikveh. It's a mikveh of tahara to purify your neshama. It's a very interesting thing, very interesting principle in halach. We know there's a principle in halach of bittel. There's bittel b'roiv, and if something has flavor, it's bottle b'shishim. But let's say it's a davar choshuv. You have a chaticha horu'uya lehischabit, a big geshmak, a piece of steak, and it gets mixed with more pieces of steak. Is it bottle? It's not bottle. Something that's a chaticha horu'uya lehischabit is not bottle. I think they say afilu be'elef loy bottle, right? Even in 1,000. That, I don't know where that comes from. Maybe that's what it says in the Bavli. Does it say in the Bavli? I don't know. I have to go look up in the Bavli. But one thing is for sure. In the Talmud Yerushalmi, it says, even something that is the most choshev in the world, it comes a point in time when it's bottle. If you have, let's say, a bria, like you have a complete, something that a creature, a living creature, you have something that is very choshev. So we have a rule that it's not bottle. The Talmud Yerushalmi says it comes a point in time, and even it's very choshev, you can't go say that it's never ever bottle. It comes a point in time where everything is bottle, even the most choshev of a thing. And when is that? 960. That's what it says in the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says, since we find when I come by a mikvah, there's a lugim, they go to a mikvah. If you have 960 objects, verse 1, that one object indeed becomes bottle. So a person, during this time of the year, there are 960 hours, a person has the ability to take those hours of the year, you know, that were not pleasant and were not productive, to say the least, to be mevatel it. There's a koyach of bittel, a bittel even for the worst of the worst. Even if a person, Rachman al-Sadr al-Aver, that he thinks is just beyond repair. Well, guess what? We have a rule that davar b'sheb b'minyin and davar choshev v'chaticha is not bottle. Yeah, you're right, it's not bottle. But the Yerushalmi says, even that is bottle when you reach such a large number, like 960. You know, when it comes to regular, there's bittel b'roif, 2 in 1. There's bittel b'shishim. When it comes to hektish, it's 1 in 100. And it comes to Isser Hana, it's 1 in 200. The highest share of bittel in the Torah is 1 in 200. And then there's a Dover Chosho that's never bottle. No, it is bottle, the Yerushalmi, 960. There are moments in the year you call the Shois Horois, the hours, a Shah, whatever that means, whether you want to go say it means a minute, means an hour, means that you're not proud of. You can be mevatel it. How you mevatel it? Chodesh Elul is the Zman of Bittel, because there are 960 hours in the year. You know, we learn in the Gemara that if a person is chayv shvu in Bezdin, which today we don't do this anymore, today a person modim b'miksas, so there's such a halacha, that at times you have to go to Bezdin, and you're obligated to make a shavua. I don't owe money. Person says to you, you owe me $1,000. And you say, I only owe you $500. So there's a fair shalach. I mean, there are many examples of shavua. It might have been mixed us. Okay, give him back the $500. And regarding the other $500, you have to swear. You have to come to the Bezdin and make a shavua. I swear in Hashem's name, I do not owe him another, the other $500, and then you're exempt. That's the halacha. There's no way out of that. Moedib b'miksas. And you go to Bezin to swear, you don't just swear, they give you a Sefer Torah. They give you a Sefer Torah. You hold on to the Sefer Torah, you make a shavua. You make a shavua and you say, I swear I don't owe this person $500. So it says in the old books that whenever there was a situation where a person was chayv to make a shavua and he was willing to make a shavua, unfortunately there are people that a shavua means nothing. They couldn't care less. They'll go to Bezdin, they'll take a Sefer Torah, and they'll just lie through their teeth. Okay, they'll lie right through their teeth. They don't care. They don't have that Yerush Shemayim. So what they did was, we believe this, is that anyone that was chayiv take a Shavua, come back in Chodesh Elul. All Shavuos are administered in Chodesh Elul. If in the middle of the winter, middle of Chanukah, you owe someone, you have to make a Shavua, you come back the following Elul, because Hanukkah time, in the winter time, unfortunately people, they said, it happens, in the human condition, they don't believe in anything, they don't really care, and they're willing just to say whatever they want to say, they get away with it. But somehow, for some unknown reason, the days of Elul, the ear is different. The avira, the attitude in the world is in a different frame of mind, whether you like it or not, and it affects you. And this time of the year, Elul, that's when you make the shavua. And that will be a deterrent. It's Elul. You're not going to just, like that, just say a lie, holding a sevtar in your hand. There's going to be a lot of weight on your shoulders. It's a very powerful statement of the degree of the koyach of Elul. Okay. Now we have a minhag to blow shofar. Okay, so we discussed this idea of blowing shofar, mistakes. The question is there's a very basic question about blowing shofar, and that is the main reason we blow shofar is basically because it's a zecher for the last 40 days that Moshe went to Shemayim. So what's the obvious question? When Moshe went to Shemayim, they blew shofar 40 days. Why do we stop short? After Rosh Hashanah, you can answer me, Erev Rosh Hashanah, you take a break. That I get. Because kedei la'arvev hasatan. We don't want to just go seamlessly into Rosh Hashanah, because the reason why we blow Shavu and Chodesh El is only a minhag, and on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, it's a din d'oraisa, it's a min ha'atayra. You must blow Shofar. So if we would just continuously go blow Shofar from Rosh Chodesh El all the way through Rosh Hashanah, the average person will just think you're blowing on Rosh Hashanah, it's a minhag. Just like we blew Rosh Chodesh El, so the same thing, it's no big deal. If I go to the bathroom in the middle of Tehiyah Shofar, big deal. No. We stop blowing Erev Rosh Hashanah in order to be Mavdil. Mavdil ben Kodesh Lachol. Okay, that's the real reason. Okay, you'll see the kid Erev HaSatan, you want to confuse the Satan, that's a more esoteric concept. Okay, you want to, the Satan doesn't know. Come on. The other reason is the Satan's going to get confused. It's a famous word. The Satan's going to get confused. You tell me that they're going to stop blowing Shofar, so that on Rosh Hashanah, oh, the season's over. So right away, he's on vacation. You go on vacation now because the season is over. I've done my job. So Erev Rosh Hashanah, he goes on vacation. We fooled him. The next day, it's Rosh Hashanah, we're blowing Shofar, so he's not there to make trouble. Come on. He's been through this cycle already for 3,000 years.
It's safe that it says that there's a new
Satan. Oh, that's the answer. That's the best answer. Every year, there's a new Satan in town. There's a new Satan who comes to town. Nish the Zelda Satan. And it's a very profound idea. Every year, we have different challenges. The challenges of the past year are not the challenge of the year before. Every year, we're presented with a new set of issues. And it's a new, so therefore, it's not the same Satan. Okay, that's that. Okay, but put that aside. Question is, okay, Rosh Hashanah is over. Why don't we blow Shofar during the remainder of the Aseret Simei Tshuva? During the next 10 days. Why don't we blow Shofar? If the reason why we're blowing Shofar is because Moshe Rabbeinu went to Shemayim for 40 days, don't make a mistake, we should blow Shofar all the way through Yom Kippur. What happened? I understand we're going to stop one day, Erev Rosh Hashanah, to be mafred between the tkiyas of the minhag and the tkiyas d'oraisa. Okay, we've done the d'oraisa. So let's go back, resume the minhag. When Moshe went to Shemayim, don't make any mistakes. So now during the Aseret Yemei Teshuva, it's even more important that you should stay on the ball and don't make any foolish mistakes in your life. What happened? What happened to the tkiyas shofar during Aseres Yemei Teshuva? It's a good shtark kasha. Okay, I don't really have a good answer. The only answer that it says, which it opens up a big topic, a halachic topic, and it's an incredible source material, but we're not going to. It's not really our topic today. And that is, and you can use it to maybe more of a homiletic approach as well. And that is, it will be an issue, a halachic issue of Baal Tosef. Baal Tosef. That's what the Mefarshim say. Now we know there's a halacha that you're not allowed to add. You're not allowed to add to do more than what the Torah says. Baal Tosef, Baal Tigra are very complicated halachas. Okay, what is Baal Tosef? But what is Baal Tosef? In order to be chayv, for Baal Tosef, this is the key point. Now, so therefore, let me explain. Therefore, if we blow shofar during the Aseres Yemei Teshuva, it's considered an iser d'oraisa of Baal Tosef. Wait a minute. So what about Chodesh Elul? The whole Chodesh Elul, you're blowing Shofar, and that's not called Baal Tosef. Why not? Why not? So the answer basically is, in order to be Chai Baal Tosef, you have to be in it. In other words, for example, Tefillin. How are you over Baal Tosef and wearing Tefillin? You have to add into your Tefillin a fifth Parsha. If you put on your head Tefillin, and then you put next to it a tissue box, and you tie it down with straps. Are you a Baal Tosef? No. You're just a Mishagas. You have to take an existing mitzvah and alter the existing mitzvah. I'll give you an example, a little bit of an example, a very quick example. I want to bring out a homiletic interpretation from this. And let's say you go and you eat in your sukkah on Chanukah. It's Chanukah. It's 0 degrees outside. And you have these delicious donuts that are steaming hot. You know what? We're going to go into the sukkah and we're going to eat the donuts in the sukkah. Are you oiver on Baal Tosef? There is no one in the world will tell you, even if you say, L'shem Yichud. I go into the sukkah, and I say, L'shem Yichud, Kudsha B'richu, Shri B'dechil, Yachay, Shem Yud, Kebavavke, we're going to be mazmin for the Ushpizin. Mark Plotnik will be the Ushpizin for the sukkah on Chanukah. Are you oiver Baal Tosef? Let's see, make a bracha. Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvayisa v'tzivanu leishay basukah. You made a bracha levatola. I guarantee you that. But you're not oiver on Baal Tosef. Wait a minute. If you go on Shmini Atzeres, in Eretz Yisrael, and even in America, in Chutz Liaretz, and it's pouring rain, and no one in their right mind would sit in the sukkah in these conditions, and you decide, you know what, I'm going to go into the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. If it's a nice day, so you could say, oh, it's a nice hut, you know. But let's say the circumstances are such that you're mamish potter from sitting in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, and you decide, you know what, I want to go into the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. According to almost everyone, you're over Baal Tosef. And that's why many people won't, I'm not going into the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, Baal Tosef. And those that go into the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres have to convince themselves that it's a nice day outside, so I'm going into the sukkah because it's a pleasant experience, not because it's really, I'm doing, even though it's steak of the yoma. What's the difference? Very simple. This is a very important principle. The difference is, Shmini Atzeres is sukkahs. It's not called the eighth day for no reason. It's eight because yesterday was seven. You are still in the middle of sukkahs. And the Torah says that on sukkahs, you don't sit in the sukkah on day eight. It's like you have tefillin, and in my batim, I put a fifth parasha. No, you don't put in the batim a fifth parasha. You don't do that. The eighth day of sukkahs is sukkahs. And the Torah said, I only want you to sit in the sukkah for 7 days. So if you go on the eighth day of sukkahs and sit in the sukkah when you're not supposed to, you are oiver on Baal Tosef. In Eretz Yisrael, where there's no Seika Dioma, if you sit in the sukkah on the eighth day, on Shemini Atzeres, you are oiver on Baal Tosef. But if in Eretz Yisrael you sit in the sukkah on Chanukah, even if you make a bracha of Leishev Basukkah, you made a bracha Levatola, and you're crazy, but you're not over Baal Tosef, because it's not Sukkos. You got to be in it to win it. You got to be in it to be over. So here's the deal. When it comes to blowing shofar, until you get to Rosh Hashanah, you're not in it. You're it's a Chanukah time. You want to blow shofar in Chanukah? Gesunte hate. Go blow shofar all you want. You want to blow shofar in Chodesh Elul, to be me'oyer yourself, do whatever you want. There's no Baal Tosef, it's El. When you're in the Aseres Yimei Teshuvah, there's a Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is one set. And in these 10 days, the Torah says, you blow shofar on the first day, and you don't blow shofar on the next 9 days. You don't. If you're going to blow shofar during those 9 days, you're in a zman of Yimei Hadin. And in the Yimei Hadin, the Torah says the first day and not the other 9 days. Just like on Sukkot in Eretz Yisrael, there are 8 days. Bayoim Hashmini. There are 8 days. Eight means the day before was seven. And there are 8 days, but only seven you sit in the Sukkot. Eight you do not. If you sit in Sukkot on day eight, you Baal Tosef. There are 10 days. Dir Shu Hashem Bihimotsoi, Ben Rashan Al Yamakipurim. You're in it. You're in it. And when you're in it, the Torah says day one and not the next 9 days. If you blow the next 9 days, you're Baal Tosef. But let's say I blow in Chodesh Elul. Chodesh Elul is not the Aseres Yimei Teshuvah. It's like going into the Sukkah on Chanukah. So you want to go blow Shofar? Blow Shofar all you want. Who cares? It's fine. What's the Musa Haskel from this? From this halacha that comes out that there's no Baal, that there is, it's shaykh Baal Tosef during the Aseres Yimei Teshuvah. The Musa Haskel is, first of all, it's one unit of time. These 10 days of Rosh Hashanah through Yom Kippur is one zman. And that one zman, you have to be very careful during that one zman to do what you're supposed to do and not do what you're not supposed to do. The avoda of Rosh Hashanah is not the avoda of Yom Kippur. Rosh Hashanah, whatever, okay, we're not going to go into all the details. Rosh Hashanah has a purpose. Yom Kippur has its purpose. Don't mix them up. If you mix them up, it's not just, you know, your mind's in the wrong place. If on Rosh Hashanah, you're going to start clapping al chet. Chatasi, chatasi, chatasi. There's a presence of mind you're supposed to be on. You're very optimistic. Rosh Hashanah is a day of optimism. It's not about averis. Forget about the averis. Yom Kippur is not a day of optimism. Yom Kippur is the day of gloom and doom. It's a day of averos. I did this wrong, I did that wrong, I'm a failure, I'm a good for nothing. My wife doesn't like me either. It's a day of gloom and doom, Yom Kippur. It's not a good time. Rosh Hashanah is an optimistic day. It's not just if you're in the wrong frame of mind, all right, it's a big deal, some of the wrong people, who cares, it's all the same anyway. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Chanukah, Purim, you know, it's just one big mishmash. It's much worse. This Baal Tosef, Baal Tigra. When you're in a tekufa, and this is what you do on this day, and this is what you don't do on this day. This is what you do on this day, and what you don't do. Make sure you don't mix the avoida of Rosh Hashanah with the avoida of Yom Kippur, and the avoida of Yom Kippur, which a lot of people have a very hard time with that. You look at Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, it's all the same. What does it say in the davening? I don't even know what it says in the davening. Here you clap, you don't clap. It's all the same. It's all the same. It's just a 10-day stretch. You're always thinking about averos. You're thinking about the next year. You say unasana toikev, both. You can very easily fall into that trap. But that becomes mamish. It's not halachically, but look at the musr of rush of the blowing of the shofar. You blow the shofar on the first day, and you don't blow the next 7, 8, 9 days, even though you really should, because we don't blow during Elul. And the reason why we don't is because, oh no, now you're in a Zman, now there's going to be a Baal Tosef, because we're in one Tekuva of Zman, and before you were not. Oh, that theme carries over to many other dimensions of these 2 days. This is the Avodah of Rosh Hashanah, this Yom Kippur, not the other way around, and in between is also unique about. Okay, we'll stop over here. Thank you for listening, coming. Have a wonderful day.
Today is the anniversary of Moshe Montefiore blocking the Damascus.
You don't know what the Damascus bug was? No. It was a
building.
How concerned is your happy? You don't care.
I'm going to go.